And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Jolan Jolovet and Teresa Roloff, here to talk about the 6th annual Lafayette Democratic Parish Executive Committee Lifetime Achievement Awards Banquet. And Jolan is a UL student. He's a senior in political science. He is the president of the UL Lafayette College Democrats, but he is also the chairman of the Democratic Parish Executive Committee. That seems like somebody should be chairman who's been around a long time, perhaps been in politics for a while, but you're still a student here at the university, and you are chair of the DPEC. That's pretty amazing. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Teresa, you are the treasurer on this organization.
Yes.
And have been very involved in setting up this awards banquet as well.
Yes.
It's been a lot of work, and we're going to be talking about the honorees as well as the keynote speaker, who will be former Governor Edwin Edwards.
Yes.
So maybe we should start off talking about what the committee does. There are some people who may not even know about it in the parish. Maybe Jolan?
Sure, of course. The DPEC is a Democratic Parish Executive Committee, and there are 14 members. There's one member representing each district of the parish. So there's 9 people representing them, and there's 5 at-large members. So pretty much what the DPEC does is we raise money, for the party. We look for candidates. We take stances on issues, and that's really, the bulk of what we do, and we fundraise. And just like this event that we're here to talk about, that's, that's one of the big things, and recognizing different Democrats that have excelled in different areas and have shown, a lot of leadership. So we're constantly working on campaigns or trying to look for candidates and things of that nature. So those are things that we're always trying to do, trying to keep the party active.
I can't imagine that you could have found a better internship as a political science major here at the university. It sounds like definitely real life experience that you're getting.
It definitely is.
Just decide to do that on your own? Did you have a professor who encouraged you?
Actually, I helped out with the Stephen Artigo campaign. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And one of Stephen's friends was telling me, he's like, you know what? The Democratic Party needs some young people like you. And he told me to run for a DPEC position. And I was like, you know what? I think I will. Mm-hmm. So I took a chance, and there was a vacant position. And so I didn't have to run. Mm-hmm. But
That's very interesting, because your experience really belies what a lot of people talk about when they say that, oh, kids don't know civics anymore. They don't know government. They don't know. They're really not involved. They don't have any life experience. They don't know how the workings, how our lower level government works. But it sounds like you really jumped in there and decided to learn how it all works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that, I think more people are becoming more aware. Mm-hmm. We live in a day and age where, information is more accessible. But at the same time, with that information being more accessible, you never know, if that information is correct or not. So, mm-hmm. it's just reading the paper every mm-hmm. day. You'll get different opinions, but it's mm-hmm. it's always good to know, what's going on and how does it affect you.
I can imagine there are a lot of teachers listening right now thinking, I wish all of my students were like that, reading and pondering and making critical decisions.
And he's done a really good job. He's learning on the ground,
yeah.
And he's brought some efficiencies to the meeting that are really welcome, and new blood, it's good.
Pretty amazing. Again, Jolan Jolovet is a senior here at UL Lafayette, but is working right now with the Democratic Parish Executive Committee, is their chairman. And they're here to talk about their awards banquet, their annual awards banquet that will take place on October 17th,
yes.
Where you've chosen people to honor. So tell us about the banquet and what it's all about.
Well, the banquet has been, held 5 years before. And it's going to be on a Thursday evening, which has been sort of the pattern that we've done, so that it doesn't interfere with football and all the goings-on of the weekend. It'll be at 6 o'clock, where we have a reception where people can interact with each other. And then at 7 o'clock, the actual program begins, which will include dinner and a program, an agenda, and where we recognize our honorees who we're so excited about. These are really great members of the community. And we'll work on through till we get to our keynote speaker, who, as you mentioned, is Governor Edwin Edwards. And I just got a notice that he is bringing his books, his new wife, and his baby.
All right. So many reasons to go and see him. So he'll have his book, and I guess he'll be signing afterwards.
He'll be doing his book during the reception. He said he'd do that and afterwards.
All right.
And his won't be the only book. We actually have a group that's coming from North Shore, Tammany Parish, the North Shore Democratic Women's Club. Their food pantry was bare, and they decided that they were going to do something to bring some funding to help their food bank. And they put together this marvelous book called Cookbook for the Hungry. Mm-hmm. And it's delightful.
And they'll have copies of their book there
They'll
as well.
Have some copies right. of their books there. Yeah. And their proceeds will go to our food net
right.
in Lafayette.
You know, that's amazing. Every time I hear lately that former Governor Edwards is speaking someplace. He's been quite active. Of course, he has a book out, but it's amazing. He is in his mid-80s,
yes.
I think.
He's up there.
Jolyn, how much do you know about Governor Edwards? I'm sure you've been reading up on for
so,
this awards banquet.
So I've always heard a lot about Edwards. So one thing I know for sure, anytime I get in a conversation, and it's always with someone older that, you know, and they will always say, you know what? I'd vote for him again. And so, you
not
know,
all of them, but a lot
not
of
all
them.
Of them, but a lot of people. No matter if you know what I've heard is if you love him, hate him, everybody mm-hmm. loves him. You mm-hmm. know for his, you know his character.
Yeah. I often get the feeling when his name is mentioned, people start laughing and have a favorite story
yeah.
about something he said.
Yes.
So
I've mm-hmm. heard a few stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'll share one that I've heard. One of my friends was telling me, you know, he would stop by the tables, and by every older woman he'd meet, he'd stop, he'd look at them, and he'd say, "Have I slept with you before?"
Oh my well, gosh. Don't.
And I was like, man, I was like, you know, for someone to go around saying that, and for women to just, you know, just say, man, you know, that's wow. You know, that speaks volumes to say that you're really
well. There,
really
I probably
well
have
loved.
Volume. People have written volumes, but I mean, I would just in thinking about you being in college right now and
yes.
having the opportunity to hear someone who really is a part of Louisiana political history.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
living
this is
going to
be
right.
a historical event.
Absolutely.
Because not only Governor Edwards will be there, Governor Kathleen Blanco will be there also.
Yes.
So interesting part of history. And is the your college group, the College Democrats, going to be there?
Yes, yes.
Right.
So we have the College Democrats will be there. And it's always good to have the youth involved with what's going on in our community and mm-hmm. playing a role in helping out with the event, and so they will definitely be there.
Well, and a real opportunity for them to get that sense of history and continuity. And just, you know, sometimes when you're in college, you sort of think that history started maybe when you started college.
Mm-hmm.
But this gives you a real nice sense of that. Now, you do have to buy tickets for
yes.
the banquet.
Yes.
So as we're talking, people need to think about that.
They can buy them online. They're mm-hmm. actually on Eventbrite. You can go to DPEC awardsbanquet.eventbrite.com. It'll give you a whole litany of things that are going on as far as where it's going to be, who's going to be there, who's going to be honored, and the ability to buy a ticket with a credit card. If you run into a problem, there's a phone number to call and get with us, and we'll help you along, or you know, let you write a check, and we'll make sure that you're set up to go.
Okay. And you were commenting just before we started the interview that people need to get on it and buy
yes,
their tickets
yes.
because they are selling right now.
They are selling. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and
the hotel is wanting a count on how many people want dinner. So,
okay.
And that's coming up this
all
week.
Right. So we'll get that information mm-hmm. again at the end of the interview. So let's talk about your honorees, the ones you've chosen. You're giving two Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Yes.
Can you tell us about those people?
We're giving one to Mayor Donald Cravens Sr., who was also a legislator, in state legislator, and who has done, you know, many things in many different areas for many people. And also Clara Burke, who was the 30-year director of the Lafayette Council on Aging. She retired, but she's still working for them in another way. She started out in a little closet as far as, you know, an office that shared with three people, and built this wonderful a network for older
services,
lower
for older
income
people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have places to stay. I think there's what, 8 facilities where they can go. I know that there's one in Scott that has 88 units, and everybody's so happy there. But also the things like the Meals on Wheels and the Foster Grandparents Program, and then there's Senior Olympics that they participate in. But they also have some grant funding that Clara was implemental in getting. They have a Victorian home that they've used to hold events for, you know, the people who are older, and they just love it. Mm-hmm. And she's just, you know, so endeared. And she's so humble.
Mm.
Yeah. And she always sees the best in everybody.
Well, my grandfather worked with her. When he was 88, he delivered Meals on Wheels, as he said, to the old people. But she was very inspiring to people like him and gave them opportunities
exactly.
to help others. And I really felt like there was a network. Mm-hmm. So Clara Burke and Donald Craven Sr. will right. be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
And I know you're pretty excited about the awards. They're
yes,
apparently
yes.
very beautiful.
They are. They have this new award that's actually been designed by Begno Manufacturing that'll be sort of a hallmark for this particular event.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes on an emblem that's used at the Capitol. And it'll be a plaque. It won't be a big bowl. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll be very pleased with what they
mm-hmm.
have.
Very artistic. And you have a couple new awards.
Yes,
and someone that I'm sure Jolyn knows, the Outstanding Educator, is a professor here at UL.
In
fact,
yes,
head of the Political Science Department.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything to do with
it. Dr. Pearson Cross is an amazing educator, and we want to make sure that, you know, we want to make sure that when you're educating, you know, the youth of the area, that we acknowledge that, especially when you're doing a great job. And so Dr. Pearson Cross, you know, his name came up, and, you know, that was something that we agreed upon. And mm-hmm. he's, you know, he's on the committee for Constitution Day here. He is also the advisor for College Democrats, and he does a great job.
Well, and a lot of people in this community know his name. He is kind of the go-to person when you're interested in what's happening socially, historically, politically in the government. He's always there, very glad to comment, to explicate something. So I know a lot of people are very grateful for his expertise.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I understand that he's been a contact for the media beyond local, but in the national arena also.
They call here and mm-hmm. Find out. So have you had classes with him, Joel?
I've had classes with mm-hmm. him. I've had state and local politics, southern politics, religion and politics, and he, of course professors know the material they're teaching, but he knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I ever have a question, you know, especially on the local and state level, you know, about anything dealing with southern politics, that's my go-to guy. That's who I'll talk with.
Well, what is it about him? I said, obviously, it's not just the information.
It's not just the information. Mm-hmm. So you can just talk with him. It's almost like you're talking with someone that's very lax. He's very nonchalant. He's mm-hmm. very chill. Mm-hmm. And, he'll give you the information and, he makes it seem like it's given to you where it's not funny, but it's more of he presents it and he gives you a little twist at the end and a little joke at the end, and it kind of think about it a little bit more. But
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He does a great job, mm-hmm. you know.
It, not completely a parallel, but a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Exactly, exactly. He's not yeah. super serious mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. In tone towards mm-hmm. monotonous. But, you know, he adds a little flavor to his
yeah.
teaching.
A wryness.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard many students comment on that as well. So that is Professor Pearson Cross, Dr. Pearson Cross, who is the head of political science here at UL Lafayette. He is receiving the Outstanding Educator Award mm-hmm. from DPAC, mm-hmm. and that will be at the awards banquet, which we're talking about, on October 17th.
Yes.
And if you're just tuning in and you're kind of wondering who my guests are and what we are talking about, Jolyn Jolivet is a senior here at UL Lafayette in political science. He's chairman of DPAC, and Teresa Roloff is the treasurer of DPAC. Yes. And they are putting together this awards banquet with help from
with
many
help,
people on
goodness.
The committee. That is the annual Lifetime Achievement Awards banquet. October 17th at Holiday Inn North.
Mm-hmm. We've got one more award.
Yes, I wasn't finished. I was just making sure that people tuning in knew what banquet we were talking about. And you have an award called the Governor Kathleen Blanco Excellence in Leadership Award.
Yes.
Now, is that
yes.
a new award?
It is mm-hmm. a new award. It throws out the one thing that says you have to be sort of done with what you're doing. And it expands to just open the arena for somebody who really has shined as far as the community
it's
is concerned.
It's not at the end of their career.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the award winner for that is going to be Sheriff Mike Newstrom, who has had an illustrious history of doing things for the people in all walks of life, and whether it's youth or hungry or reforming or public safety for the whole parish, it's mm-hmm. his job. But.
Well, now, are all of these people going to get an opportunity to say a few words?
Yes, they
will.
They're going
to be talking?
Yes, okay. they will.
So yeah. even though you have a keynote speaker,
right.
Edwards, and that
yes.
would be a pretty hard act to follow or go before.
Well, he's following them.
So. Yeah, exactly.
But, and then what we have presenters, too, let's see.
They'll be introducing the
yes,
various awards.
Yes, I think,
awards.
Mm-hmm. What do we have here? Steve Ortego, Representative Steve Ortego, will introduce the mayor, Donald Cravens, Sr. And, I think I'm going to be introducing Clara Burke. And then for Dr. Pearson Cross, Mary Morrison is going to introduce her. She's been very involved in education. And then Governor Blanco is actually presenting the award to the sheriff.
Her namesake award.
Yes.
So lots of amazing reasons to attend this banquet,
yes.
To see
yes.
Great people and
yeah.
also to
yeah.
hear about Louisiana history and mm-hmm. politics. The tickets are available several ways, as Teresa mm-hmm. was saying, mm-hmm. if you'd like to purchase them
online
at the Eventbrite
yes.
site.
Yes.
And maybe give that site again.
It is... DPEC Awards Banquet, DPEC Awards Banquet .eventbrite.com. Or you can call the number 234-7225 if you don't have a credit card and you really want to go. We'll figure out a way to get you set up where you have a ticket.
Okay.
And we're hoping that you can do this before Tuesday because the hotel's asking for a count. It'll make it a lot easier if we, know. And there's a fish option. And a chicken option, as far as your diet. And we didn't mention that the mayor of Scott is actually the master of ceremonies. And we're going to have a little saxophone player during the reception, too.
Oh, it sounds like it's a multimedia event.
Yeah, well, we need some happiness,
That's right.
We're Democrats. We know how to have fun.
Well, Jolyn, now you are just about to graduate, I believe, maybe within this year, your senior?
Yes. So... I'm going to correct. I was just talking with Sally Donlin.
I don't want to put you on the spot here. She is Assistant Dean of Liberal Arts here.
She is the Assistant Dean of Liberal Arts, and she's also the Vice Chair of our Democratic Parish Executive Committee.
So she's like under you. Yeah.
I guess you could say that. But, no, not here. Not here at school. I can't finish within this year, but I'll just, take another semester and... there's just,
It sounds like you have no lack of things to do and interests that you have. But sort of looking ahead, what are your interests, considering that you've already gotten this amazing start in real life?
I was thinking law school and then Air Force. And that's something I want to do. But I also want to run for a political office.
You have your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah, and, so
take your time.
I have time. I have time. Yeah. So,
well, amazing inspiration to those people who might be thinking that young people are not involved. Definitely have one here who is. And I'm sure you're an inspiration to the young people here on campus. Again, we are talking about the DPEC's Lifetime Achievement Awards Banquet, the 6th Annual Lafayette Democratic Parish Executive Committee Awards Banquet, with me, Teresa Roloff, who is treasurer of the committee, and Jolyn Jolenvet, UL student, who is chair of the committee currently. Well, thank you both for coming to let us know more mm-hmm. about the banquet and your organization.
Well,
and
thank you.
Should people want to know more about it, do you all have a website?
We do have a Facebook.
Okay.
It's Lafayette. We just changed it from Lafayette Democratic Parish Executive Committee to Lafayette Democratic Party.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yes. I know it is, in fact. It's got three words and not
okay. People are very good at searching that. So you can find out more if you'd like and get updates about it. Well, thank you both for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
It is Thursday afternoon when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Today's poems are by J. Bruce Fuller. J. Bruce Fuller is the editor-in-chief at Yellow Flag Press, and he is a PhD student in poetry in the writing program at University of Louisiana at Lafayette. The Incredulity of St. Thomas, after a painting by Caravaggio, and the poem contains an epigraph by Robert Hayden, "Sundays too, my father got up early." The Incredulity of St. Thomas. I thought he had a heart attack, but watched him crawl into bed to sleep it off. The next morning he slept in, and I knew then for the first time that my father would forsake me and die. This was his final lesson. A body once feared could be broken. 30 years of labor was too short a time to do such damage, and my hands were unburdened and guilty. This was the gift that he left to me. He rose afternoon and tried to dress. I put my father back to bed and touched my finger to his ribs to make sure he was still there. And the second poem by J. Bruce Fuller, Counting Dust Devils, Early Season. They grow when fields are cleared, in the heat, in turn rows, where men stand searching the skies for rain. They are stamped into being by the suck of air, left when bare feet leave the earth, rising tiny at the heels of children. Children chase the big ones, wisps of swirling dust, then grow into men who look skyward. They want to see if they can be lifted high from the fields, to see if there is strength enough to rise from that solid earth where they were planted and raised.
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bork. Joining me in the KRVS studios is Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, here to talk about the first in their chamber series. It starts this coming Sunday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. It is a complimentary series to their classical concert series throughout the year. The chamber series is in a much more intimate setting at the Acadiana Center for the Arts and involves a smaller number of musicians and generally a guest artist. So tell us just a bit about the chamber series and why you all started it, Mariusz.
Well, we started the series about 2 years ago, and we did perform a variety of different chamber repertoire throughout the regions, very often in local churches and in outside cities. And when the Acadiana Center of the Arts became a new available venue, it was a perfect marriage of us coming there and presenting this sort of repertoire for that particular stage. Once this this stage became available, very often people ask me, "What is a chamber music?" Well, chamber music is being the term comes from old Italian terms "musica da camera," which means music played in a room. Of course, at that time, the definition of the room meant something that can accommodate 5 to 10 players and another 15 that could listen to. And that's pretty much what we observe when we try to define what chamber music is. It's a music between 1 and 10 players, maybe 15 with the chamber orchestra, which provides a very different timbre, very different style and type of music. And it was actually music that many of the greatest composers enjoyed writing for the most. And we know from the testimonies and the repertoire that Beethoven, Mozart, and Haydn left us with, we see that, for example, the most adventurous and most interesting writing Beethoven did was not with his symphonies, was not with his concertos, was actually with his string quartets, which is the core of chamber music. Also, Haydn made the most advancement in the terms of writing for strings and composing the genre called string quartet, which has some specific way of putting different sections together, development, exposition, recapitulations. He really got the craft right and came up with the perfect form, which later Beethoven and Mozart copied, basically, through writing variety of different string quartets. So it's a wealth of repertoire, wonderful compositions coming from many different composers written for a chamber ensembles. So I think it's really important to present that type of music along the big, wonderful symphonic repertoire. So that's why we are doing that. We started the series at ACA 2 years ago. It was immediately very warmly embraced by our local audience. So this is the third year and our first concert this coming Sunday.
Well, and obviously, you know, string quartets have been performed in the Hyman Center in the past, and it can be done. But as you mentioned, it is certainly nicer to have it performed in a space that they composed for, something that was smaller and more appropriate to the small group.
It's much appropriate. No, my first career was as a violinist and a member of a string quartet, and we did travel a lot and play in different venues. And every time when we would walk into the new hall where we were to have a concert and it was bigger than for 200 or 300 people, we would say, "Oh." Because then the only choice you have in terms of the intensity of your playing is playing loud or very loud, just simply to accommodate the space, which is not what the composer intended to. So having a space like that on an ACA really provides the musicians with the opportunity to play the music as it intended to be played.
Right. And you get to showcase some of your musicians in the orchestra who can play that kind of music, chamber music, but obviously with the larger concerts, they play a different kind of music. Right. So this gives you an opportunity to really let them show their skills.
Absolutely. And this is the case also this time. We're having six members of our orchestra, six principal players, playing alongside with a wonderful guest artist, Bridget Kibbe, who is one of the leading harp players, I would say, in the world. She's definitely the leading young harp player in the United States. She's already teaching at the pre-college at Juilliard. She plays chamber music and some of the most prestigious series, such as the Lincoln Chamber Series in New York City. She plays into the Musicians of Philadelphia Orchestra. She's very well respected in spite of her young age. I had the pleasure of working with her last year in the larger venue. Was really impressed and was hoping she would have time to come and perform here. And, you know, we arranged that, and I'm really excited that music lovers in Acadiana will be able to see firsthand this wonderful talent.
Well, I know some of our listeners had the pleasure of hearing the interview Valerie Green did with her for her program, Harpistry.
Right.
And she was quite impressed with how articulate she was about the music that she played, because she seems to be part of this younger generation of musicians, and it's not just harpists, violinists, pianists, who seem to be crossing lines. They're classically trained, they're incredible musicians in that field, but they also experiment with world music and other forms of music.
Absolutely. Of course, the core repertoire that she plays and she will present at the concert this Sunday comes from the French composers. This is where the harp was really born, and the best harp makers were also in Paris, and naturally that instrument became most popular in France first before it sort of spread its wings throughout Europe and the world. I mean the modern harp, because the ancient harp was already present in the ancient Greek culture. But the modern harp was really developed in France. The primary producers lived in Paris, so that's where it first sort of picked up the second steam in the in the modern music. And of course, during the wonderful period of French Impressionism, composers such as Debussy and Ravel really embraced the sound and the timbre of harp and wrote some wonderful repertoire. And we're going to feature one piece by Debussy, a series of his dances for harp and strings during the concert, and beautiful piece by Ravel called Andante and Allegro, which showcases harp and the strings in a very beautiful way. Also, there's a flute and clarinet part in that.
What is it about the harp that really makes it appropriate to impressionistic music or that particular period? What is it about that instrument?
I think the timbre, the sound. There's something about, you know, touching a string with a finger rather than touching it with the key, like on the piano, and the key is connected to the hammer, and the hammer touches the string, and then we get the sound. This is a beautiful sound, too.
It's not as immediate.
But doesn't have this immediate personal connection. And for very, very long time, the amount of tones you can get from harp was very limited. You know, it was 12, 14 tones. With the modern harp, basically every key available on the piano is available on the harp. It's exactly the same number of keys, 52 white and 36 black. So that opened this new doors for composers. And also you can tune a harp certain way that without too much effort you can go into those tonalities that Debussy in particular and Ravel enjoyed, which is augmented chords, pentatonic scales, going a little bit out of the traditional major minor mode, and harp is very well suited to do that. And you know, harp can play those beautiful arpeggios, and once you touch the string and it vibrates, the sound stays longer in the room than, for example, guitar, because the resonance box is much bigger, so you can carry and sustain the sound a little bit longer. And there's a visual aspect of harp being so elegant.
Yes, very
instrument.
Elegant.
So it works for many different reasons, but the modern harp really became the voice of the impressionistic composers first, and then many other composers simply wrote in the style of the French composers.
So in addition to the French composers, Debussy and Ravel, you're going to be having some more Spanish-influenced works. Were those written for the harp, or were they transcribed?
We have one Spanish work, which is actually a transcription of Rodrigo Guitar Concerto, which really translates very well into harp. And as I said, on a guitar, the sound doesn't stay in the room for too long time because the resonance box is small. The harp kind of amplifies it in the natural way. So Bridget came up with this idea of playing the final movement of the Rodrigo Guitar Concerto, and she said she always did it just with the piano, or she did it just solo. And she asked me if I could take the orchestra score and adapt it to the amount of players we have available. So I did it. So actually, I made an arrangement of an orchestral score and wrote it out just for the six instruments, of course, in collaboration with Bridget. And it's going to be a world premiere of that arrangement. And I'm convinced it's going to work very well. the guitar slash harp part is very prominent, and the other instrument just provide the color and accompaniment. And again, given especially the small room, relatively small concert hall, which ACA has, it's going to be a wonderful blend of instrumental accompaniment featuring solo harp.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest is Mariusz Smoly, conductor of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, here talking about the start of their chamber series programs. It will start off this Sunday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts at 3 o'clock. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra chamber players will be joined by harpist Bridget Kibbe for this first in that chamber series. And she'll also be performing some dances, some South American dances. Mm-hmm. Did you transcribe those? Or
no, those are actually, most of them will be played solo harp. Oh, okay. There's part of the repertoire that is being performed with our musicians. There's a few works on the program which are just featuring harp solo, and among those are those South American dances. Bridget lives in New York, and you know I met her there too, and in her close circle of friends is a number of very interesting South American musicians, among them composers. And you know, naturally, like, during any period of time, you know, they talk to each other and looking for new avenues of expression, both the composers and the instrumentalists. So through those discussions, there were several works that were specially written for Bridget or specially adapted for harp, because they're not, I don't know about many other harp players that would play this type of repertoire. That's what's interesting about Bridget, as you mentioned at the beginning. She makes this crossover. She makes these fusions between traditional styles and the new styles. And she really has a talent for that. It's not an easy thing to take your very classical training and approach to composition and suddenly make a samba out of it or something like that. So, and I heard her playing some of those dances last year in New Jersey and was really impressed. And I think we are for a really
so
big
we'll get
treat.
To hear them here in Lafayette this Sunday. Right. She will, of course, also play some Celtic harp music.
Yes.
And that's another, I guess, a genre of music that took very well to the harp.
Right.
I mean, they had a long harp tradition
right.
in Ireland.
But again, because of the development of the new harp, the old Celtic tradition of playing harp comes from playing, number one, other instruments, number two, the small harps with 12 or 14 tones, and sometimes they were used just to accompany, to sing song. Now, having this big harp, I think it opens the abilities of featuring this Celtic music in much larger, better way. And Bridget, again, herself made few arrangements of the old Celtic music and adapted it to the big modern harp, and she plays them like a storm.
A Celtic storm.
Yeah, she's a very, very energetic and temperamental player, at the same time very sensitive and beautiful musicians. So.
Well, I'm sure people can find more information about her on the web if they find themselves interested in her, and perhaps even some samples of her work.
Yes, we have some samples of her playing on our website, so please go and check it out. And actually, there's a sample of her playing something that you'd never expect harp can play.
And so, what is that?
It's one of those dances.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those.
So that's at the acadianasymphony.org website.
Yes.
People can go there and obviously find out more about tickets and information about the orchestra as well, and see some clips of Bridget Kibbe on the harp.
We have a lot of interest in this concert. We already sold a lot of tickets. So if you consider coming, please purchase your tickets early or have them ready for you at the will call, because if things go as well as they go, there may not be tickets available at the day of the concert. So I encourage everybody to take this opportunity to hear really outstanding artists playing very interesting repertoire on not very often featured instruments such as harp, and join us this Sunday.
Well, a real treat for us all, and again, something that is a part of your mission, bringing not only great music, but music that we might not otherwise hear in our community. What's coming up next in the Chamber Series after this concert?
After the Chamber Series, we go to the symphonic programs in the later part of October. Then November, we have a Fantasia, and in December, Christmas concerts. We're coming back to ACA for a Valentine's concert in February, which will be a small chamber orchestra with few soloists from the orchestra, two cellists, which I will be conducting, and a special event to mark a special Valentine, if you mm-hmm. are interested. You can start making your plans now, because again, it's just a one performance, and again, this program seems to be very, very popular. So if you're about to buy tickets to listen to some great harp music, you may also consider buying tickets for the Valentine's, because they will go out very soon.
Absolutely, because you also have people who have purchased series tickets.
Yes.
And so those
right.
seats are already right. Claimed.
Yeah, more than half of the hall is purchased by the subscriptions, and mm-hmm. so the is only about 100, 120 tickets available for single sales. So.
And I hear people rushing for their phones now. Yeah. So best way is to call the symphony office?
Yes, call the symphony office. Or you can simply, for all the chamber concerts, mm-hmm. we are sort of in charge of all the tickets for the chamber concerts, okay. unlike with Hyman, when you need to go to Ticketmaster. So with all the chamber series concert, the procedure is extremely simple. Go to our website, click the concert you like, give your credit card, and you secure your seats and pick up the tickets at the door.
Right.
You can also call our office and if you have any questions.
So as Mariusz said, do that if you're interested, because there are very few seats left. Mm-hmm. That's the concert, the chamber concert called Across the Ocean, with guest artist, harpist Bridget Kibbe, joining six members of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, their chamber players group. For more information about the chamber series, the concert series, or any other performances, you can stop by their website. Thank you very much, Mariusz.
Thank you very much.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Continuing in Fletcher Hall in the Dean's Gallery, an exhibit entitled Waking Space, a collection of works by UL Associate Professor Stephen Breaux. That's up through tomorrow if you haven't had an opportunity to see it. The Dean's Gallery is on the second floor of Fletcher Hall, Lewis and Girard Park Drive. This evening in Breaux Bridge, an event called Banned Books Bash and Book Swap will take place at the Joie de Vivre Coffee and Culture Cafe. Reading will be Daryl Bourque, Linda Fries, Greg Gearward, Marjorie Essman, and many others. It's from 7 until 9 this evening. It's free and open to everyone. In Grand Coteau this evening from 7 to 9 at the Thinstead Center, an evening of poetry with poets Liz Burke and Kelly Clayton. Afterwards, there will be an open mic session. Everyone is invited to participate with prose, poetry, or music. This evening, the Lafayette General Health Foundation will hold its annual gala at the Hyman Performing Arts and Convention Center. Tickets are available by calling Jeff Daly or the Lafayette General Health Foundation. The UL Lafayette Dance Guild starts its creative movement class tomorrow. It's for children ages 5 through 9. For availability of places, you can contact Lynn Clearfield or Melissa Ross through danceguild.blogspot.com. The Fall Bach Lunch Series starts off tomorrow from noon until 1 in Parc Sans Souci. You can hear the group Les Frères Michaud. You're invited to bring your own lunch if you like, or just enjoy the music. Friday evening, tomorrow evening at Cité des Arts, the Brad Walker Jazz Quartet will be performing. They'll start at 7:30. Brad Walker will be joined by Simon Lott, Brian Seeger, and James Singleton. On Saturday, the Latin Music Festival, the 11th annual Latin Music Festival, will take place in Parc International in downtown Lafayette. Lots of music and food and crafts and information about organizations will be there. It starts at noon on Saturday and goes until 10 o'clock. For a complete listing of music, you can go to their Facebook page, which is ACLA Latin Music Festival. On Saturday, Shadows on the Tesh will hold their Fall Arts and Crafts Fair on the grounds of the Shadows. It's from 9 until 4 in the afternoon. Tickets are available at the gate of the gardens. Saturday evening in downtown Lafayette at Cité des Arts, Comedy's improv hypnotist Flip Orley will be performing. Tickets will be available at the door. The Cajun Invasion Dragon Boat Team is hosting the Pink Ribbon Jam at the Blue Moon Saloon this Sunday. It's a celebration of life after cancer. The celebration will take place from 2 until 8. All are invited. You can get tickets at the door. And the music will be provided by the Wayne Blue Burns Band, Bonsoir Catin, and Chubby Carrier and the Bayou Swamp Band. That's 2 to 8 on Sunday, the Pink Ribbon Jam at the Blue Moon Saloon. Also on Sunday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's Chamber Players will perform. It's the first in their chamber series. It's called Across the Ocean and features guest artist, harpist Bridget Kibbe. They will perform music by Debussy, Ravel, and Rodrigo, and she will give solo performances of Argentinian and Cuban dances by P.D. Rivera and selections of Celtic harp music. That's this Sunday. It's at 3 o'clock at the ACA. Tickets are available by calling the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra or going to their website. The Center for Louisiana Studies continues its Backyard series this coming Tuesday, October 8th. The presentation on Tuesday is called Pascal Storytelling, Les Contes de Pascal. It's from 6:30 until 8:30, and it's about the art of storytelling in South Louisiana. Mitch Reed, his brother Craig Reed, and Dr. Barry Anselet will be there on Tuesday talking about the family tradition and sharing some of their own stories. It's free and open to everyone this coming Tuesday, October 8th. Opening next week on the 9th at Theater 810, the play Red by John Logan, put on by Wanderlust Theater, featuring Duncan Thistlewaite and Brady McKellar as Mark Rothko and his assistant. There's more information on the web about that play if you're interested. It will open on the 9th and run through the 13th at Cité des Arts. Tickets are available by going to their Eventbrite site or by calling Theater 810. The National Writing Project of Acadiana presents an evening with author Tim Parrish. He'll be reading and discussing his new memoir, Fear and What Follows, published by the University Press of Mississippi. He'll be reading at the Picard Center on Wednesday, October 9th at 7:30. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button. And if you're interested in podcasting or archived shows, just search for the show you're interested in, such as Big Band Swings. And when you get to that program, you can either listen to archived shows or download them for listening to at your convenience. You can support KRVS at any time very securely at our website. And you can find out more about donating a vehicle. If you have a car, truck, or boat that you'd like to get out of your driveway or yard, you can donate it to KRVS. For more information, you can click the big red button on the bottom of our homepage. You'll see it. It says car donation. And either call the toll-free number there or fill out information about your vehicle. It's a great way to help support KRVS and perhaps a good way to help yourself as well. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We are with NPR's All Things Considered. From 4 to 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7, it's This American Life with Ira Glass. Thistle and Shamrock at 8. Val Broussard Boston's Franco Mix at 9. Cecil Doyle's Earthbeat at 10. In just a moment, we'll join NPR's All Things Considered.